Good evening. Voice over there, there's a voice over there, and the odd voice over here. As you may no doubt have worked it out, that some of us are now on our third service and some of us are on our fourth service today. So it's good to see you. I hope the weather is not too inclement for you. Just a bit of information for you. We will be using, you probably smelt it, a little bit of incense, first time in this year since last Christmas. So, but we're going to try and be sensible and not fog you out. You know, if you lose sight of us here, don't worry, we're still here. And I think someone's just put the air on to give us a bit of movement, because it does get hermetically sealed in here. This is a service of Holy Communion. All that you need for this service is in your bulletin, and those of you who may just be visiting for us for the first time or for a long time, this is a service where you are more than welcome to receive communion at our table. And for the more hearty of you who like a Christmas Day service, then we will have a service tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. It is what we call a low mass. That means it's just a said service with no music, but you're welcome to join us at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. And those of you who are part of St. Edward's, just a piece of housekeeping. The office will be closed next week. Obviously, Christmas Day is tomorrow, but we'll be closed through Friday. Michelle will be back in the office on Friday. However, those of you who do attend the midweek service on Wednesday, that will be taking place. There will be a midweek service this coming Wednesday. So, but other than that, the office will be closed. Let's now stand and begin our service of Holy Communion by singing our processional hymn, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have
with you. Let us pray. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we, who have known the mystery of that light on earth, may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for the reading.
The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Paul's letter to Titus. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Then, suddenly, there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Joseph and Mary, and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not sure whether you notice these things or not, but it seemed to me that almost 24 hours hadn't elapsed after Thanksgiving when Christmas trees started to appear on lawns, inflatable snowmen, all manner of Christmas detritus, one might add, started suddenly to appear, lights going around houses. And Black Friday, of course, had all the Christmas things in the stores. Stouffer's were selling Christmas candy and so on. It all seemed to happen within minutes of Thanksgiving being over. And now here we are, after all those weeks of preparing for Christmas, it's nearly over again. All those weeks of decorating our homes and putting up Christmas trees. Well, first of all, you've got to cut them down and then you put them back up again. Attending concerts, that's always a busy Christmas event. Sitting in traffic jams seems to be a new thrill that everybody's joining in at shopping centres and malls, and then trying to second guess what people would like as presents, and then wondering if we can afford it or if they even deserve it. And now it's nearly over, and we hear the familiar gospel story of the birth of Jesus. And words of the Apostle Paul to a somewhat obscure apostle named Titus. He's right at the back of the Bible. He gets about a page and a half of letter in the Bible, in the New Testament. And Hank and I had to do a bit of research to try and remind ourselves who he actually was. He sort of wandered around with Paul, and he went to Jerusalem and was quite significant as an individual there. And then he just drops off the page of history. And yet, here we have it, the words of Paul to this obscure apostle named Titus. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. It's almost as if all those preparations for Christmas were just for that one phrase. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. And then we have the Christmas story itself, of course, a story of shepherds and angels, of wise men and a baby Jesus in a manger. In our family, one of the most popular Christmas stories is the Muppets Christmas Carol. I often think that maybe have more meaning than all the other stuff that follows with Christmas. All this in preparation for that one phrase of Paul to Titus, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. And yet, that one phrase is pregnant with meaning for the Christmas season itself. These words of Titus, I think, actually get to the very heart of what Christmas is about. Actually, it's about knowing. Christmas is about knowing, and it's about loving. Knowing and loving. Knowing the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. A message of love. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. That's the opening to the birth narrative in the Gospel of Luke. I don't know whether you've given it any thought, but the Emperor Augustus, Emperor of the Roman Empire, was the most powerful man on the then known world. Some scholars claim that the Romans invented the census. Now, according to Luke, Augustus chose the time of the birth of Jesus to have every person counted. Augustus wanted to know how many people he ruled over, for this kind of knowing might be useful. This is the knowing of power. You know what that's like. All the stuff that's been going on in Washington, D.C. over the past year is about that. We know this kind of knowing, this kind of power, knowing that can be used for good or ill. Augustus needed that kind of knowing. Another kind of knowing, is to know something secret about someone. Such knowing can place tremendous power in our hands, power to hurt or destroy, power to put under an obligation. How often have we confided some weakness, something very private to someone, and not wondered afterwards if we might have placed ourselves at their mercy? This kind of knowing is the Augustus kind of knowing. Knowing without love. And what is true about knowing without love in human terms is often found in matters of faith. An example that I quote is Psalm 139. It's often used in funerals. Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my going out and my coming in. Where shall I go from your presence? It's a wonderful psalm, but a psalm that can be interpreted in a number of different ways. It could be a cry of despair to an all-knowing God, or it could be a cry of fear that the divine knows our deepest, innermost thoughts and weaknesses and somehow might hold them against us. You'd be amazed at the number of people of faith who have this distorted understanding of God's all-knowing love. Most clergy come across it in hospitals, in homes. And people will say, I must have done something terribly wrong. I don't know what God might do about it. Or even toss off the phrase, I don't think I'll ever get to heaven because I did such and such. There are some people of faith who think that way. They believe that when God took on human form in Jesus and seemingly overcame all human failings, that God somehow then expects us all to live perfect lives. This is a fear of knowing without love. A fear we so easily turn on ourselves. Fear of our histories. Fear of our motivations, which when unleashed can lead to feelings of worthlessness, even self-hatred. This kind of knowing is knowing without love. And yet, let's be honest, most of us have a need to open our hearts to someone, even if we fear the damage, because we long to be understood as much as to understand. Deep down, we long for love. We long for God's love. We long to know that the root of all love is God. And God knows of what we are made, and God knows what it means to be human. And yet, we fret on what God might do with all this knowing. But this Christmas night, this most holiest of nights, is the night when we remember how God took on human form in an infant named Jesus, so that God might know the measure of our humanity, our weaknesses, as well as our strengths. So that when we are vulnerable and fragile, God in Christ might share in our vulnerability, in our fragility, so that in the sharing we might know how much God loves us. This is loving knowing, love at the heart of all things, knowing and loving. This is the meaning of Christmas. This morning, just a few hours ago, we celebrated the fourth Sunday of Advent. It's quite unique for the fourth Sunday of Advent to fall on the same day as Christmas Eve. The last time it happened was in 2006. The reading from the Gospel of Luke recounted the angel Gabriel announcing to Mary that she was to be the Theotokos. I love that word. It's a Greek word, Theotokos, the God-bearer, the mother of Jesus. This was knowing of the most profound kind. To be told that one was about to become the bearer of the Savior of the world, imagine what Mary could have done with such knowledge. Yet her response was not one of power or manipulation or obligation. It was one of humility. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Later, when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, watching their flocks by night, their first reaction was abject fear. Fear of the Lord. Fear of God. But on hearing the news that on this day God would break into human history in the form of a child who would show the world what the love of God was actually like, then they went in the fullness of joy to see this miracle, what C.S. Lewis once referred to as the deepest mystery of all. And when they arrived at the place and saw Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger, they did not keep this knowledge secret, but rather went back into the world and made known what had been told them. And all who heard it were amazed. This is a kind of knowing, but it's a kind of knowing in love. There was, several years ago, in fact, more than several years ago, close on 50 years ago, in England, a bishop of the cathedral in Durham, a man called David Jenkins, who once did the impossible. He actually had one of his sermons, or a quote of one of his Christmas sermons, on the front page of the London Times. He was quite notorious in his day, but this was particularly so because preaching to a cathedral full of coal miners from the Durham minefields, he said to them quite openly, "It doesn't matter if you don't believe in God or Jesus or the virgin birth. You just need to be in church and know that God believes in you." Well, of course, the newspapers had a field day the next day, because, of course, right across the Sunday Times was, "The Bishop of Durham doesn't believe in the virgin birth." But he had a point. There are many people who come to church on Christmas Eve, and Easter for that matter, who don't believe the story of Mary and Joseph, or maybe have a healthy skepticism. And if they don't, it doesn't matter. You don't need to believe in shepherds or wise men. For Christmas is more than a nativity set. Christmas is more than Christmas trees and presents. The presents in themselves, to be sure, are symbols of love, and Christmas trees are icons of joy. But Christmas is not about Christmas trees and Christmas presents and nativity sets. Christmas is the story of how God chose to break into human history, embracing our humanness in all its complexities. Christmas is about God in Christ knowing our deepest secrets, but knowing them in love, embracing them. For in the birth of a child, a vulnerable child named Jesus, God showed us how we are made in the Imago Dei, the image of God, and how much he loves us. During the course of my preparation for this season, I've been reading some essays by a former Roman Archbishop of Canterbury. I don't know why I keep calling him a Roman Catholic bishop, although he is an Anglo-Catholic, and he is well-respected in the Roman Church. Rowan Williams, I think that's where I keep getting it from, Rowan Williams was Bishop of Monmouth in Wales and then became Archbishop of Canterbury, and before that he was a professor in Oxford, and now he's in Cambridge. Remarkable man who, I think it is said, that he can read or speak or write at least 20 languages, you know, which for some of us it's difficult to even string a sentence in English together. It's quite impressive, really. But he had this to say about Christmas. Christmas is the moment of recognition. The moment when what we have always secretly known is set in plain and fleshly terms. In other words, the birth of Jesus, God incarnate, the Word made flesh, through whom the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, is knowing in love. God's knowing in love. So, like Mary, ponder these things in your heart. Like the shepherds, don't keep it a secret. But lo, go and look on the infant child and be amazed. And then, like them, like the shepherds, go and make known what you have heard and seen. For what you have heard and seen is the deepest of all magics, that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. Not some, not just a chosen few, not some of one color or creed or culture, but to all. Not just to the young, not just to the old, not just to the men or women, gay or straight. God's gracious love has appeared, bringing salvation to all. That's the meaning of Christmas. It's really all about knowing and loving. I wish you a blessed Christmas to you all. Amen.
Let us stand together as a community of faith, professing our belief using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, With the Father and the Son, he is glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Brothers and sisters, on this most holy night of our Lord's birth, may we find peace, joy, and contentment in this holy season. Let us pray for ourselves and for those in need of our prayers, saying, Lord, hear our prayer.
For the Church of Christ, that it may faithfully proclaim the good news of salvation, and may care for the needs of God's people in all corners of the world. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace in our troubled world, that the darkness of war and injustice may be replaced by the light of peace and love. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those in need of our prayers, the homeless, the unemployed, the hungry, those who are hospitalized, those who are imprisoned in body or soul, and all those for whom this season is not one of joy but of trial and sadness. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the sick, that their illnesses may be turned into health, and their sorrow into rejoicing, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who labor this night on behalf of others, doctors and nurses, police officers and firefighters, gas station attendants, bus and taxi drivers, and all those whose work prevents them from sharing this evening with those they love, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
In thanksgiving, we remember the lives of those who have gone before us in the faith, especially those who we are missing at this holiday, that we, like them, may remain faithful to the end and live forever in the light of your eternal glory. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Mighty God, mercifully hear the prayers of the people you have chosen as your own. Give us zeal in our ministries and joy in our work, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good to see you all. Well done for coming out this late at night. One thing I didn't tell everybody earlier on today, but one of the nicest messages I've seen all Christmas came across on Facebook. Apparently, many of you know, we do the Jesse Tree Project, and this year we provided gifts for 150 children. And I got a Facebook message from foster parents who had three of the children, foster children, just saying, thank you so much for those gifts. They were just what they wanted, and it's just made our Christmas a very happy one. And that, you know, just those few words just makes all the difference. So that was lovely. But it's also lovely having you here, you know, and noble things that you are to come out so late. Walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man, of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with St. Edward and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord,
the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. Faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son to take our nature upon him, bless you in this holy season, scatter the darkness of sin, and brighten your heart with the sight of his holiness. May God, who sent his angels to proclaim the glad news of the Savior's birth, fill you with joy and make you heralds of the gospel. May God, who in the Word made flesh joined heaven to earth, and earth to heaven, give you his peace and favor. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you and enfold you this day and always. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.